Hello.
Yeah, how's it going?
You all right?
Yeah. Good.
Right.
Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Awesome.
All right, so as you can hear, I've got another fighter with me. I've got Tom Mearns, is it? Mearns?
Yeah, Tom Mearns, yeah.
Yeah. You're fighting on Bellator 200.
Yep.
Do you want to introduce yourself a little bit? Say a little bit about yourself.
Yep. I'm Tom Mearns. I'm 25 years old from Milton Keynes. And I'm 5-1 as a professional.
Good stuff. So, obviously, you're fighting on Bellator 200. A massive card. How excited are you to be on such a stacked card?
Yeah, I'm very excited. I've been wanting to make a jump to the big promotions for quite a while. Yeah. Do you know who I'm fighting on Bellator?
Yeah, I've got his name here. Chad Griffiths.
So actually I've got some news now, so and it's all the contracts all signed and everything, so it's not Chad Griffiths anymore.
All right.
Yeah, so I think it was roughly like last week I found out, but yeah, he withdrew from the fight, so I'm now fighting, you might know of him, Mike Ekandeo, I think his name's pronounced.
All right.
You familiar with Mike Ekandeo?
I think so, yeah.
He's from Team Titan. So same team as Chad Griffiths. I know that Chad Griffiths, I think he's actually Grimshaw's student and trains at Team Titan as well. I don't know if
Grimshaw has his own. He says he trains at Team Titan.
Yeah, Team Titan, yeah.
Yeah.
And then
I'll throw some of my questions out then.
Yeah, so it's kind of a similar fight in some ways. I think is a much more challenging opponent than Chad Griffiths.
Yeah, see, one of our things was obviously Chad Griffiths. He was 6-0,
but yeah,
the records that some of the guys that he's fought, some of them have got more losses than they have wins. So it doesn't seem like he's fighting the top level guys. It's like he was fighting guys that he just wanted to keep his undefeated record. He's taking safety fights, so to speak.
Yeah, and what I noticed, like from when he made his professional debut, he went 6-0. That's all well and good, but like it took him a long time to have six fights, you know.
So one of the guys he fought was 4-5, and I think it was his third or fourth fight. And I thought, your third or fourth fight, being undefeated, you're not going to take a guy who's got more losses than wins. Whereas obviously, you're 5-1. And obviously, five fights undefeated. You were fighting guys that were undefeated or were 3-1. I mean, your last fight was 6-0. So you're challenging yourself every single fight.
And then the fight before Aiden Lee was Jordan Desborough. And I was 4-0. Jordan Desborough was 10-4.
Yeah.
And, you know, he fought like Brett Johns, five rounds for the world title. And, you know, proper seasoned guy, really good athlete. And, so, you know, I'm really trying.
You're pushing yourself every fight. You want, like what most fighters say, they want to fight their best. But Chad doesn't look like he wants to do that.
Yeah. I'm not going to take stupid fights, of course, because you've got to look after yourself. It's just so brutal. Having said that, I'm very competitive and, you know, I want a real competitive career to look back on. And, yeah, my last fight was a great one. You know, I really enjoyed it. Yeah. Going back to Chad Griffiths, I was like wondering if didn't want to judge too much. So I didn't even ask the reason why he pulled out. But I thought, maybe he wasn't ready for the step up. I'm not too sure.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying. But who knows? So I can't tell you why he pulled out. But if he is injured or anything, of course, you know, I wish him all the best and everything.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I had an inkling it was just not the right fight for him. Maybe just in my head.
Yeah. See, when I was flicking through Tapology earlier, and I was looking, and I thought, is this guy like ready to, obviously, like you said, he's taken a long time to get to where he is. And then looking at the guys that he's fought, and I had a look at their records and stuff like that. And then I compared it to obviously the guys that you fought and their records. And I thought, this is going to be a massive step up for him, obviously, especially on a card like this, on a stage like this, and with an opponent like you, with a record that you've got. Yeah, you lost your last fight, but before that, you were 5-0 and you were fighting undefeated guys, decent fighters. So it's, it would have been a massive, massive step up for him.
And he is a beast. I feel like he would have had to rely on being incredibly physical to get the you know, to try and get that W. You're still there, as making
some noise.
Yeah. From my cat just pressed something on my phone. But yeah. So, but you know, it's Mike Ekandayo now. So, respect to him for taking the fight, and he's clearly a really competitive guy. Kind of similar to me in many ways. Is obvious he wants what I want, and he wants the big time, and so it's a much more interesting contest now, and it's a great one because I didn't get that decision against Aiden Lee. I was gutted, but I'm completely moving on from that. I'm so grateful for having a good fight with him, and in my head, I said, like, you know, what can I do now? I just got to be tenacious and come back with a huge win and beat a great guy. And that opportunity is right there for me now and on Bellator.
And
so I'm so grateful for it.
Even though you didn't get the result, like you said, to carry on, Bellator must have seen something in you to give you the offer for the fight. Obviously, like you said, it's such a massive card and a big stage. Even though you lost your last fight, it's like, well, even though I lost, I've still been offered this. So, in a sense, it's a good positive to take from a bad thing.
Did you see my last fight? Have you seen that?
No, I couldn't. My YouTube app wasn't working earlier. My phone hasn't been working most of the day. And I've been trying to find other things to do.
It's well worth a watch. It's just, I think it's definitely a really entertaining fight. We were just competitive with each other. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the physicality difference between me and Aiden, both being opposite ends of the spectrum. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he's got that tall physique. I'm short, stocky. Yeah, it was just good fun. It got a really good reaction from the crowd. People on the internet enjoyed the fight, you know. If you get time, definitely check it out, man.
Now my little one's gone to bed, I don't have to prize a tablet off of a four-year-old. So hopefully I can get on that and I can have a look at that when I go back in.
Yeah, definitely check it out. Because I want it to be seen. It was good fun.
So going back to you saying you're really competitive and stuff like that, I've seen that you had a grappling, was it a tournament you had on Saturday?
Oh, yeah.
And you fought your brother.
Yeah, it really wasn't my day. Because I'm not making any excuses at all, but because I'm working a full-time job as well, whilst trying to do this, and I'm like training full-time, working full-time. In order to be able to compete at that tournament, I had to do a shift change. So it put me on like a 10-day week at work.
All right.
And it was just a brutal grind. So I'm trying to get the work in to make sure I beat Mike. And then I'm trying to work, 10 days flat without a day off. And I'm up, you know, 5 in the morning. It was really tough. So, and then by the time the tournament come round, and which was my day off, I was just absolutely fried.
Hoping for a day to relax, and then you end up in a tournament.
I mean, the reason why I did it wasn't like I didn't have the fire in my belly to get that gold medal. It was like I wanted to turn up to be in a competitive environment and be, you know, mixed with some really competitive grapplers in the advanced division, you know. So anyone of any level, you know, could be in that. And do you see what I'm saying? So I had 5 fights anyway, and they all went to decision. Very competitive fights. So it's like 25 minutes of real competitive work.
Yeah.
And then I then returned home from Manchester with my brother. You know, we put the running trainers on, and we just head out the door, and we went for a real hard run around the lake and like chin ups and stuff, and just, you know, just the constant work. It's how we approach our fights.
Yeah, well, I've obviously spoke to over with the past few fighters that I've spoke to and stuff like that. For me, the wrestlers have got stuff like that. The jiu-jitsu guys have got the best cardio whatsoever. Like I say to them, like I trained at MMA a few times, and people say, "Oh, you must be super fit and stuff like that." And I'm like, "Well, no, because I used to like stand up, but I loved it on the ground. I just wasn't." It was took so much out of me, and I said to them, "Look, if you want cardio and physical fitness and stuff, because I used to play football, instead of doing preseason football training, I said, go and do a couple of hours of jiu-jitsu or grappling or something like that. I said, and you'll be absolutely blowing out your ass within like 10 minutes. I said, it's absolutely brutal.
Yeah. So my brother beat me on the decision on the weekend because he went for it, done exactly what he should have done. Yeah. And then something that was actually quite nice, which pulled me out of my little rut I was in, because me and my brother train all the time together. You know, either one of us can beat each other. The two guys that beat me on decision in the advanced Nogi division, they only beat me on like a decision. Respect to them for it, of course. But, you know, my body was fried and I don't know. I just lost positions to them. I was just like, oh, really annoyed. So then when my brother fought them both, he armbarred one of them, knee-barred the other one, and they were brutal submissions. And it was just really good. Like, all right, they beat me, but then my brother went in, like, all good style.
So, to the family.
Yeah, I was just like, teammates is always relevant, always competitive. So even on that day, my brother's still there.
Yeah, so obviously you say you do a lot with your brother and stuff like that. He's obviously an MMA fighter as well. Do you do it just to push each other to the absolute limit as what you can? Obviously, you know what limits each other's got and stuff like that. You're there for emotional support, physical support, everything.
100%. It's been a huge advantage. So, as soon as we could communicate, me and Richard, we were always grappling each other. And I guess every brother does that, right? But it never stopped. It never stopped. And then being young kids, we're like, we were idolizing like Jackie Chan and that. And we were 8 years old. So we started like training Taekwondo. We did that for 10 years. We got a black belt and that. But then when we made the transition, I actually transitioned to MMA through a friend from work. And Richard transitioned into Muay Thai from a friend from college, and we both went our separate ways in that kind of sense. But for me, the grappling felt so organic and natural, probably because I was so familiar with just tussling with my brother, man. Do you know what I'm saying? It felt a bit
Having the sort of basis to start off.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you're the same weight as you, same size as you, it's a good foundation to start.
Yeah. Yeah, so, definitely.
Right, so obviously your opponent's changed last week. Did you have a game plan for Chad? Obviously, knowing his record, obviously if you've analysed his fights and stuff, did you bring anyone in, or did you get any of your training partners or anything like that to kind of emulate him? So it kind of went his style, so it was like a matchup for you while she was sparring and training.
Kind of. So basically, two fight camps rolled back to back. I had a lot of trauma that I had to recover from my fight with Aiden, because it was a real war. So first things first, I was working on just getting my health back, trying to rest. I was still, you know, I was exhausted because I had a bit of an adrenaline dump from the whole thing, and then I was straight back into the warehouse. So I was getting healthy again, and then regarding Chad Griffiths, I strategize for my opponents. I don't set my game plan in stone too much, if that makes sense. And I don't have too many expectations of fights, because if you expect something, to be fair, you're always going to end up being disappointed some way or another, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it was the matchup's great for me because I got so many sparring partners anyway. That can bring what he brought to the table in sparring. It fits like a jigsaw puzzle piece for me, he did. Because I'm so familiar with the style, you know, when I studied him. But, again, I always expect he might, what's the word, evolve his game or...
change something up. So, obviously... If he knows you've been looking at tapes of him and stuff like that, and you know what game plan he's going to do, he might change something up to try and mix it up a little bit to throw you off what you're going in to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So now it's Mike Ekindayo. I mean, I'm just going to keep it real, be myself. It probably won't have to be as aggressive as Aiden Lee because it won't be at that height and reach deficit. I had to keep pressure on Aiden Lee. I do pressure quite a bit, but can definitely play some chess with Ekandayo. We're actually quite similar. He reminds me of myself, around the time when I was making my professional debut. I mean, that's a compliment to him, though. Just I'm looking at the way he goes about getting his wins. I would say his preference is the grappling. He likes to control the chaos of a fight by being very physical with his opponent, and then obviously controlling them on the mat, looking to just keep up the ground and pound until they surrender a submission. He plays it very high percentage, which I get that. He's not going to go for the most ridiculous submissions. I think a choke would favor him, or a submission from the top position. And he'll really look to make you surrender to it. So by you up, and that is the way where I go about it. Having said that, I'm not expecting that for this next fight. He's young like me, and he's clearly wanting to make a big statement on Bellator. So I'm expecting anything to come to the table for him. He's from Team Titan. Most guys I see from Team Titan, they throw hands good, very tenacious strikers, and have a tenacious approach to the fights. So yeah, I've got to be ready for that. I don't see him as a striker, but no doubt about it, he will have good striking ability and techniques. Whether he's seasoned with it yet, though, that's the thing. Whether he's been into the deep waters with the striking, or really took him to the edge, just because of his experience right now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's whether he's getting there with, like you said, with the experience and stuff like that, is it going to be too
I mean,
much for him?
who he been in there with? I'm not criticizing. I'm curious in this sense. Who's he? Someone really pushed into their edge, not an opponent that's not been submissive with him, and really throwing down. I would expect that he will be fairly comfortable because he'll get it in the gym with certain. He's got Nathaniel Wood, Corey and guys like that. They throw down pretty good, but it is still different when you're not in the comfortable environment of the gym.
So you're looking for a good sort of grappling match, and obviously, like Saturday, you had a grappling tournament at the weekend, so you know strangers to the grappling. So
No
you.
stranger to anything. That was how I used to get all my not all of them, but as an amateur, I'd get lots of some submission wins. I'd be very physical with them, and then they would surrender to submissions as I come up the ranks. And at professional, they get very the grappling gets so much more intricate. You can't just do that anymore. So you've seen these improvements in my striking and that.
Yeah, so obviously with it changing to this guy, you think you've kind of looked into what he's going to do, and this is how he's done his previous fights. Have you changed anything to how you're training? Obviously, with the change of opponent in the week, or anything like that, or is it like you said, you're still staying on focused on what you're doing instead of too much on what they're doing, and it's you're just building and making sure your game's on top form.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in two minds whether to say it on a podcast. I'm sure he could tune in, or his teammates tune in. But then at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. But one thing I have been doing is many fighters do this all the time. It's nothing new. But we've been doing shark tanking. You heard of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, we have some really physical grapplers at my gym. So just fresh opponents coming in again and again, taking me down, and then also starting with me off my back. A new guy comes in. More It's more to break down my will to. It was working last night. We were doing drills of people. Literally, it was ground and pound drills. Of course, they were ground and pounding me, but these are my teammates. They weren't looking to cause injury, but they gave me some serious problems to deal with. One of my teammates, Raymond Paul, incredible grappler. He was pushing so hard to get me into the positions where he can TKO me. And then of
Yeah,
course
right.
he was throwing the strikes, making them land. Of course, not doing ridiculous damage, but he was really pushing to get me at checkmate, and I was under some serious stress because I'm thinking back to the fight. I can't accept that. I can't accept this from myself. Me accepting bad positions is just not good enough. So I get a little bit emotional, a little bit upset when it's not going my way in the gym because I'm always referring it back to the fight. But yeah, so that's one thing we've been innovating. But then I've more just continued with how I train always, and I'm always like looking for new things to do. But yeah, just trying to enjoy my training, enjoy my jiu-jitsu,
Yeah,
enjoying
so
my
the training
boxing.
camp's going good.
It
Obviously, you're
is good and
working as well,
bad, actually.
which must be real
Sorry?
brutal. Obviously, leading up to a massive card, you're trying to train full time to put on a good show, and obviously get the W for a big card with a massive audience and stuff. And obviously, you're having to work as well.
I mean, what I would say with training, it's good and bad. Like, my effort is 110%. So, in that sense, it's good. But it's not, there's so many times where I'm not having good training sessions. I don't feel, it's often because I'm overworked, overtrained, like injured, or it doesn't get me down too much because I've had so many fights now. It's, I know there's no perfect storm for a fight.
Yeah.
It's absolute chaos. So it's like this next fight camp I've rolled into has actually been quite tough. But then again, it's going to make my skin thick for when I make my debut on Bellator.
Yeah,
So
so
yeah.
when you make your debut on Bellator, is it just one fight you've got, or have you signed a contract with them?
It's a one fight, but going through the contract, it's like I think it's hard to what way to put it. It's like an open-ended two-fight contract. So there's
Oh,
a
right, yeah.
possibility there for a second fight. It regard I think I need to then approach them to see if, they can have me on within a certain amount of time. If they
Oh, right, yeah.
can't match me within that, and then I'm free to go. So it's quite nice actually because it leaves the possibility for me to then progress, have another fight. I'm sure they'll probably want to use me for a European card or another UK card. I'm not too sure when the next UK card is, but they'll definitely want to get me on there again. So
Yeah, so
it's
they've pulled in a
yeah.
lot of guys like this because I spoke to Kent Kaupinen yesterday.
Yeah.
He's on the undercard as well, and they've said that
Okay.
they've done the same for him as well,
Yeah.
which is it's good for obviously like fighters like yourself and for Kent, even if it is just this one fight contract or one fight that you've been pulled in for. You go in there and put on an awesome show and stuff like that. They could turn around and say, right, here you go, here's a five fight contract, a two fight contract. It gives you, well, an extra boost, so to speak,
Yeah.
to put on a bit of a show. Bit well, not obviously not saying you're going to put on less of a show, but a bit more of a show to,
Yeah.
yeah.
It's quite good being like a free agent too. I like that. Like I fought on Cage Warriors last, and that was a great show. And I'm really just trying to get that experience in now. I'd love to fight on all the major shows, and then find one that I can really stick with and become their champion and their poster boy, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, but. So, who knows what I'll do next? Possibilities are endless. So I just got to perform great, and
So
I
yeah.
always do.
On that
Just
note,
not
what's the end
tournaments.
goal for 2018?
Ooh, 2018. I definitely. You know what? I need to fight quite a few times on either Cage Warriors, Bama, or Bellator. Reason being, that's Safe MMA. It's quite expensive, right? Getting the brain scans,
Yeah.
MRI, the eye exams, the blood tests. So I got that all paid for in December because I tried out for the Ultimate Fighter. So the UFC, they paid for all of that, and then unfortunately, I was pretty bemused by it. I was 100% sure I was going to be in the house, but I didn't make the final cut.
All right.
But then at least they then sent through to me all my medicals, which saved me like the best part of a grand. So
Oh,
that's going to
that's a
be valid
bonus then.
for like a year, right? To save some money. I'm not balling yet, so I need to be using that as much as possible. So definitely I'd love one or two more fights before 2018. Yeah.
So after you've fought on the 25th, is it? Yeah, 25th. Obviously, most fighters have a strict diet and stuff like that. What's the one thing you're most looking forward to eating?
Oh, it's usually chocolate. Yeah. Chocolate, cheesecakes, baked, anything baked. I'm not into like sweets, like boiled sweets or just sugar. I love hotel chocolate. I'm really into that. And I noticed last time I was around Wembley, I went to that Mayweather and McGregor press conference, so I
Oh,
couldn't
right,
help
yeah.
but notice they got a Lindor store around there. So yeah, I'll probably be getting some treats from there. But it depends. Maybe I'll hook up another fight ASAP, and then I might not
Go and
want
have
to do
Thai
that.
food McDonald's or something.
Yeah, good. Five Guys is good. Byron Burger. Yeah, but I really enjoy my healthy eating too, though, and like healthy alternatives. Like I sometimes make my own chocolate, like free from dairy and free from refined sugars. All right, and that's if I'm fighting again quite soon, because providing I'm all good, I'm really trying to make some changes, so I could be competing again very soon after, quite possibly. We'll see. But yeah, there's
Yeah.
definitely going to be time for like a good burger and some
Yeah.
chocolate.
There's always time for a good burger. I'm not a diet fan myself, but there's always time for a good burger.
Fights are you looking forward to on the card, and what ones are most caught your
A
eye?
few in the undercard, obviously yours, Kent's, but I'm really looking forward to the Gegard Mousasi fight.
Yeah, that'd
And
be
yeah, in the main event, I'm a bit of a Roy Nelson fan.
good. Oh
Just
yeah, huge.
because one of my idols is Randy Couture,
Yeah,
and he
I've
used to
trained
be a pad man for him.
him. Yeah, I went there when I was in Vegas. I saw of course I didn't talk to him, he was busy doing his own training, but I saw Roy Nelson there. In Extreme Couture, I was a bit like, oh wow, this is pretty cool. So now I'm on the same card as him as well. So it's really cool.
Yeah, so carry on.
Oh yeah, Linton Vassell, of course, on the card. That's he's my teammate
Yeah.
when he's in the UK, of course. We're both from Milton Keynes, and
Yeah, I seen that. I was flicking through Facebook early and then seen that he and your brother's Facebook as well, and he put it through about him as well. And then I was flicking through his, and he's just had a new sponsorship deal with Muscle Farm.
yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's
Good sponsors. Yeah,
well,
good
after.
company I work with, CBD Life UK. They sponsor Sol Rogers as well, who's on the card. So they're really good with me. Help me and
Yeah.
my brother out a lot. Yeah,
Yeah, they follow me on Twitter as well, they do.
really, really good products. Been really
Yeah,
helpful.
well, I've got a bad back and I've started taking, well, not their product. Hope they're not listening. But the CBD oil, and my partner took it, and my girlfriend started using it as well because she had a problem with her knee and problems sleeping. So it's really good. And it's good for fighters. I spoke to a few guys about it. And obviously now the USADA have cleared it. As legal, so that it doesn't come up on it's not one of their banned substances, which a lot of fighters I think are taking the wrong way.
What's the rules on THC? Do you know when does that need to be out of your system before like you
I
fight?
think the full limit that you're allowed is 0.5 or something, or 0.05 that USADA
Yeah.
allow. But there's a UFC card coming up in Illinois,
Yeah.
and marijuana is legal in Illinois. Yeah, it's legal. And USADA have turned around and said, we're not taking any prisoners.
That's really.
And they're all about trying to lower the limit for the card in Illinois
Yeah,
just because the weed's legal.
because out of competition, so you could have as much of it as you want in your system if it was, say, like a week out or something. Is that
Yeah.
true?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty fair as well.
Yeah, which is Nick Diaz is smiling right now after just coming back as well from a marijuana suspension.
Yeah,
But
because when
yeah,
I
it's.
they said when they did our drug test, they said the only thing we're lenient on was marijuana, and then the whole room full of fighters, like they like started celebrating, because then they got the cannabis dispensaries out there,
Yeah.
Hilarious. The whole house, all the guys were making visits to it. It was pretty good.
Well, yeah, there's, I don't see why it's not, because it's not a PhD.
Nah,
It's
nah.
a muscle relaxant, basically.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's good
And
for your well-being too, in moderation.
yeah, and it's been proven, obviously, not some of the stuff that you get on the street, but more of the commercial medicinal stuff.
Yeah.
It's been proven to help recovery and stuff. I mean, I read
Yeah,
a story once that someone had snapped their Achilles or something like that, and they were meant to be out for 9 weeks post after surgery,
definitely.
and they were back after 4 or 5 because he sat at home getting high all day.
Yeah. Yeah,
And he was
that's
putting it
really
down to that. So there's a
good.
lot of fighters that are coming out now. Like, I think they're being more lenient with it, because
Yeah.
obviously you've got people like Sean O'Malley, Nick Diaz, and Nate Diaz starting the trends. I mean,
Yeah,
Sean O'Malley's got his own brand of it coming out now because he lives in
really.
California. Yeah, he's got his own brand of weed coming out in California.
That's pretty clever. See, if you're when you start to blow up, you really want to start thinking about also some out of the box ideas of how you're gonna generate money or whatever, because it is quite a brutal career. And
Yeah.
that's pretty good, pretty
And
clever. Yeah.
obviously he games as well, like Demetrius Johnson does. They're both on Twitch. And obviously Sean O'Malley's injured at the minute, so he just
Yeah.
sits at home on Twitch playing a computer game with loads of fans and stuff, and they subscribe to his page, make donations and everything like that. And he smokes his own weed that people can buy from a dispensary and stuff, and he's bringing out a clothing line. It's
Ah.
crazy. But yeah, he's a
That's
smart
really
kid
good.
for a stoner.
It's because he's a stoner, that's
Yeah, but yeah,
why.
the he
Outside of the
seems
box.
to be a bit more lenient with it, because Joe Rogan had Kevin Lee
Yeah.
2 days after he had his fight, and he was saying that he smokes weed after a fight now.
Yeah,
But I don't know. Pardon?
better than alcohol after a fight. I think that's the worst thing you can do. Yeah.
Yeah, he was saying on it that he turned to booze once when he got beat. I think it was by George Masvidal. He said he got beat by, and he said he went home and he sat there and sat there, and he just turned to drink, and he said it just made him more angry and more angry, and
Yeah, and
it
inflammation
wasn't
would get.
helping.
Yeah. It went Masvidal. I think I was watching a podcast with someone else who wasn't too familiar with the name. They've never fought them two, I don't
Not yet.
think. Yeah. What do you think of that fight? That was a good fight. I was really impressed.
Oh, the Kevin Lee Barboza fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, after he'd done that chicken dance, like, and I read all the like, I watched it back the next day because I was busy on the Saturday. And everyone was like, "Oh, he dominated it. He dominated it." I don't get how someone can dominate it from doing the chicken dance like he did. I mean,
Yeah.
that's Barboza's trademark kick. He should have seen it. I know you can't really see it coming, but he should have expected it at any time, so to speak.
Yeah.
But he, fair play to him for hanging on to him and surviving from it.
But that's also Barboza rushed it. If he kept some so he rocked him and he was almost out of it on the feet. He rushes forward and his hips are right in line with Kevin Lee. So even if you had no vision, as soon you can feel it there. You've seen when people get clipped or knocked out, and they end up grappling the referee quite competently, but they're
Yeah.
out of it, because that's because of muscle memory. So if you're looking at a guy like Kevin Lee, who's had 400 plus wrestling bouts, and you've hit him with that, oh, he should have went for, I don't know, he should have just measured the next shot, and that would have been done, a done deal, I think,
Well,
but.
yeah,
He
half a step back and a couple of punches, and it was game over.
completely crowded it, and then let Kevin Lee get physical with him again, and then hang in there.
Yeah, let
I
him
was
stand up again. So
striking
one
was
thing I've noticed about Kevin Lee, he doesn't really like standing up too much. I know he's good at striking. He's a really, really good striker, but
good.
he doesn't like standing up too much.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, he's more than competent in the. Of Edson, obviously, because he had Edson going back too, so it's quite hard to be for it's very hard striking going backwards, and even his kicks were effective. Like he threw a right kick to the left side of the body. And usually I would say that's a no-no in MMA. You'd probably want to throw a kick to the open side. But I mean, he pulled it off, and mainly because Edson's a striker, wouldn't look to get the takedown off that kick. But it was really good. Yeah,
Yeah,
really.
I think USADA have been a bit more lenient because obviously because of people like Kevin Lee, and obviously he went on Joe Rogan's podcast. And no, if people, I don't know how people don't like Joe Rogan, but the influence and what he talks the most sense in MMA. I mean,
Yeah.
like, and he's a stoner as well. I think this is why they're being a bit more lenient, because he done tests for himself. We've done experiments of how it is a muscle relaxant and helps on build on recovery and everything like that. And he's wrote like massive papers and stuff to universities, to senates and everything like that. So now that they're seeing more and more fighters are using it, I think they're gonna say, all right, well, if you're in a training camp and you have like a slight injury, you might be able to use it because obviously it speeds up recovery and stuff.
Yeah.
I just think it's good that they've taken the THC oil out of it as well.
Yeah.
Because
Yeah.
a lot of fighters, obviously in the UK and stuff, they use it for them sole purposes. I'd done a podcast with Scott Butters a few weeks ago, and he
Yeah.
said he uses it. And he says he does his drops every day and everything like that, because you're only allowed 15 drops a day or something like that. And he does that, and when he's finished training and stuff, he has his last drops a couple of hours later, and he's completely relaxed. His muscles aren't as sore as what they are if he was
Yeah.
to go home and have a beer or something.
Yeah. He just won his fight on the weekend.
Yeah.
Was it a choke he got? I need to go and watch the fight actually.
Yeah, it was. Guillotine
Yeah,
choke.
that's real good to hear that, because he definitely went through some adversity. I know he had a real bad knee injury, and then he had something that come up on a brain scan once, I think. And
Yeah.
yeah, it's great to see him. He's now back. He's 2-0, I believe.
Yeah, as a pro.
Yeah, really good.
He's quite close.
Really
I'm in
good.
the middle of both of you here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Where are you?
Corby.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
so he's
So,
Norfolk, you're Milton Keynes.
my teammate Jordan Vercenek
Yeah.
lives.
Yeah.
Get him on sometime too.
Well, I plan to have a podcast with him the week before his fight. And my messenger on my Facebook Messenger just stopped working completely. Like, I wasn't getting any messages and it wasn't sending any messages or anything like that. And I managed to get
Yeah.
hold of him like the day or something before. And
Yeah.
obviously, he was busy. So I was just like, oh, I'm not going to pester him the day before, 2 days before. So I left him. But yeah, I am. I've got a week and a half off work now. So I'm planning on getting as many in as I can in the
Yeah.
next few weeks. But yeah.
Yeah. It's
So,
good. Yeah. And then my mate Luke Shanks was on the card too. And he finished a lad from Greece in the first round. Really brutal ground and pound. It was a real tenacious performance. Got the job done and won. I was really impressed with that. So it was a good night at contenders.
yeah,
Yeah.
it looked it as
That's what
well.
I was.
Yeah, I was gonna go to that, but I was signed off work, so I had to make a few changes.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'll hopefully go to the next one.
Yeah. Yeah,
All
I
right.
need to go down there again.
So,
Had the
two more
belt on.
questions. Who's your pick for the
Go.
main event?
Oh, main event. Oh, I think that is fairly tough. I think Roy Nelson. Reason being, I know that Mirko Crocop, he did start getting knocked out a lot because he's only human and obviously fighting at heavyweight. He's been fighting a long time. Roy Nelson's got that right hand. It's maybe he uses it a bit too much because people, it's like I don't know. It's not a comfort thing because he's don't strike me as a guy that needs comfort. He's it's a hard man, Roy Nelson.
Yeah,
But
he's got some chin on him as well.
I feel like there's a very good potential of that landing. Having said that, I saw Krokop in his, it might have been his last fight when he fought King Mo. Did
Yeah.
you see that fight?
Vaguely remember it.
Okay, yeah, so Obviously, I would have thought, oh, King Mo's the more guy more coming up. But yeah, Mirko Krokop got the TKO win, but he looked huge in that fight. He looked bigger than I've ever seen him before. It was a bit of a I don't know.
Yeah, the posters are obviously like the poster on your Facebook and stuff like that for Bellator. He is looking huge, like you said, bigger than ever, and it's.
For a man who's I mean, he retired, I believe. Did he retire? I'm not too sure, but I guess he left the UFC. I mean, he was looking jacked. He's a beast. So is he going to come in to fight Roy Nelson looking like that again? I'm not too sure. So then it could get quite interesting if it does. But man, Roy Nelson, yeah, I really like him. Reason being, I love it when I see a guy that's not got to have muscles growing out of his muscles to win a fight.
Yeah,
What I'm saying? I
as he
mean,
does his hashtag team belly rub.
yeah, exactly. some guys that they got to turn their bodies into sports cars. I guess I do it as well. I try so hard, with my cardio and everything, but to a certain level. But then you got to go on the mental. It's more about this, how we strategize to win fights,
I
and then
suppose
that.
at the lower weights is a bit more in the like the job title, whereas heavyweight you can get away with it sort of thing. I mean, look at Daniel Cormier at the minute. He doesn't even look like a reporter for the UFC, never mind a fighter.
Yeah, he's incredible, Daniel Cormier.
Yeah, see, I like him, but I don't because I'm a Jon Jones fan myself. I mean, when I first started watching the sport, it was from the Ultimate Fighter with Michael Bisping on it. So coming up like then, obviously Forrest Griffin's, your Stephen Bonners and stuff like that. And then obviously Jon Jones was like the next one onto the scene. And it was like, oh, hang on a minute. Like, this guy's a young guy as well. And then obviously he just tore through people. And it was like, all right, I see this guy.
I'm a big fan of Michael Bisping just because he's so tenacious. And there might have been a stage where you wouldn't have thought he was going to be the middleweight champion, and he goes and does it. So I love that. I
If
love that. And I'm
anyone
out.
deserved it ever, it was Michael Bisping.
Yeah, he kept it so real and was just so tenacious. So tenacious.
Mean,
And
this is why we
that's
love the sport.
we can all look to for ourselves, when the chips are down or whatever, if you keep your feet moving, anything can happen if you are
Yes,
about.
as they say, it only takes one punch. Like, that's why I, when it goes to the ground, I appreciate watching that more than. Like the Conor McGregor Jose Aldo knockout. I mean, I say to my missus all the time, you could walk down the street, and if a 10-year-old boy punches you on the chin in the right place, you're going down. One punch is all it takes. Whereas it's
That's almost kind of a shame as well, because some people, they can get clipped and then not get the opportunity to even go out on the sword, if that makes
yeah.
sense. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm a bigger fan of technical knockouts than a knockout any day. I love a striking clinic, but I like it when I see a fighter take another fighter to that point where they have to let go.
Yeah.
That is the art. Oh, it really is. But of course, I would, take a knockout any day of the week if that's how I'm going to get the win. I'm not
Yeah, if you're going to
complaining.
go in there and do one punch and it's over, you're going to cash that check and walk out
I'm fine with that. So,
unharmed. Most fighters would be, unless you're on the receiving end.
yeah, I'm never banking on it. I never want it that bad either, as long as I win.
So, obviously, you're still working at the minute, but if you weren't a
Yeah.
pro fighter, what career would you pursue?
Something maybe. There's a few things. So I'm one that always follows my belly over my head in many ways, actually. But when I say belly, I'm talking about a gut feeling on something.
Yeah.
Always over pure logic. It tends to. It makes things more interesting. So. It would be definitely something physical, maybe like personal training, maybe. maybe, or another athlete or some sort. Or then, if I was thinking really businessman like, or not even that, but I've always been really into food, eating food and cooking food. I worked for quite a few years as a waiter, which is quite funny because I would always have black eyes and I'd be serving people in a really busy restaurant, but the customers, they loved it actually. But when I was there, so I did like at school, I wasn't particularly great in many things. So I was a good kid, but like I wouldn't get the best results in class. But things I would do well in was art and food tech and sports. Anything on an artistic kind of side or food, I was quite good at, and I was really interested in it. I loved cooking food. I liked cooking food at home, and me and my brother would often cook food together. And then he even said to me, I'd really love to open some sort of deli with you one day. He said to me, I was on the same page, you know, it's just a thought. It's just a little thought. But like, imagine if we keep pursuing, made a good reputation for ourselves. We know an awful lot about nutrition, an awful lot. Because I also studied that in college, did very well in that. And for my own self, so I handle all my nutrition myself through my own like self-taught education and college. But yeah, he thought he would love to run some type of deli with me. Imagine if we had like the funds and we had successful MMA careers, he just thought it would be a real cool thing. But yeah, you never know, something like that. And I did work in the kitchen a little bit too, on like the antipasti and stuff when I was working in Italian restaurant. I learned a lot about the culture and a lot about the food. So yeah, that's quite possible, but being a chef, that is brutal. That is hard. So I
Yeah,
don't know if I
I've
that
done that
people
before
think,
and it's not pretty.
yeah, it is. Even if you got passion for your cooking, which these chefs did, and they could cook amazing food, it's not human what they're made to do. To create a good dish for someone, yeah, again, that is actually a piece of artwork. You got to put some soul into it.
Yeah.
So when orders are coming through, and it's relentless, and it has to be that way to survive in the industry. But I felt for them, and then all the picky orders that would come through, where you get a customer that would tarnish a completely good dish with all their really fussy orders. I don't know, it would just drive them nuts.
Yeah,
But
that's when you find out that you sometimes really hate people.
yeah. Going into the trying to train to be a chef would be, I guess it would be rewarding too, but oh, so tough. Something about a deli, which is quite cool. I guess it wouldn't be the same pressure of like orders flying in like that.
Yeah.
So it's already prepared, and you can prepare great food. And
Have yourself a
how
healthy
much?
one and throw some shakes and stuff in there as well.
Yeah, and you could like even, of course, you've got that delicious Liella, woman who's really successful. Would you know of her?
Who is that, sorry?
Deliciously Ella, she calls herself. Her name's Ella.
I haven't heard
Right,
her,
she's
no.
really successful. She's been blowing up for a few years now. She does like she's vegan. I'm not a vegan, but I definitely eat more of a plant-based diet leading up to my fights with just eggs and like a bit of fish. But the type of recipes she does are fantastic, and they're so nutritious. But yeah, the kind of like product she serves in her deli, and that is perfect for athletes and fighters, and you can get healthy treats. So, you know, you can market it towards athletes and fighters. Do you know what I mean? Or people into health and well-being and good food.
Yeah,
That's
you're
what's
in the
quite
right
cool.
industry for healthy eating.
Yeah. You should check this. It's good. Yeah.
Right, I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to let you enjoy the rest of your night.
Yeah,
I'm a
thank you.
busy guy with work and stuff. Really appreciate you taking the time out to have a chat with me.
Will you be
No, unfortunately, I'm not. No.
there? All right, catch
Yeah,
on Spike.
hopefully it's well. Aaron Chalmers put it out on Twitter earlier that supposedly they're working on a deal this week to get it aired live in the UK somehow.
Okay, that would be
So
really cool.
yeah, so hopefully it's
It's the other Spike.
pardon?
But what do you think of the Aaron Chalmers fight? I know you're wrapping it up, but
I'm not. I spoke to Kent about this yesterday, and I'm in two minds about it. See, most people will probably tune in the hope that he'll get knocked out and he'll get beat. But kudos for him getting the chance of what he's getting.
Yeah.
He's had, three fights? Three professional fights he's had, and he's only been in the cage about 4 minutes or something.
Yeah.
So I think he's used to the stardom sort of side of it, like the fan base side of it. And
yeah, the fights won't bother him.
He's taking that and just rolling with it.
I think he'll be the favourite to win it. I feel like his opponent will be the underdog.
Yeah, just for yeah. how he's finished his fights.
Yeah. Do you think he should be on the main card? I mean, he's a big draw regarding the name.
Yeah.
But then you've got former world champions on the undercard.
Exactly.
Got winners on the card which is good for the fans because you really are getting your money's worth. I mean, absolute world class talent on the undercard. But yeah, it's just crazy.
Yeah, it's a bit bizarre. And obviously, he had all that fiasco with his contract with them as well.
Yeah.
And they've just sort of turned around and said, oh, here you go, you can go on the main card. But like yeah. I said, kudos for him getting the chance.
You know what I mean? I would 100% do what he's doing if I was in that position. It's just interesting, that's all.
Yeah, it's a bit of a kick in the teeth for the guys that have earned it more than what he has, basically.
But it is what it is.
Yeah, like you said, no disrespect into him. Obviously, he's been handed it. He's won his three fights by knockout. And the fan base that he's bringing, that's obviously
yeah.
to another fighter, that shouldn't come into it, basically. But it's, like you said, he's a top draw. He's going to get put on there because of the fan base that he's bringing in. Like Kent was saying to me yesterday, he's going to bring like women and men that have never watched the sport before, but they've watched him in other programs in Geordie Shore and all that other crap that he's in. So they're going to watch him just because he's on the show.
That's pretty cool, actually, I guess.
So yeah, they're going to bring in a fan base that people don't know him from fighting, and then they're going to flick through his Instagram or something like that and say, oh, he's a fighter. Oh, well, we'll try and tune into this, or we'll buy the pay-per-view. So it's going to bring more sales in and boost views for all the fighters, basically. But they're only going to tune in to obviously to watch him. So it's a up and down sort of situation.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it draws more eyes to the sport. That'd be cool.
Well, yeah, as Ken said, if it brings in another 100,000 people to watch the event, for people that are on the undercard, that's another 100,000 people watching the undercard. So that's another 100,000 people watching him fighting.
Yeah.
So some of them could be potential sponsors for all fighters.
Yeah, definitely.
100%. And business investments. But yeah, it's I think he should have, obviously with the fan base, Bellator just seen pound signs, but for fighting wise, I think he should have been on the undercard first to
just
on one event, and then if he wins that, then they say, all right. If he goes in there on the undercard, knocks the guy out, say, all right, well, we'll give you a main card shot on the next one. But we'll see.
Yeah.
It'd be good to see more of him, basically, to see what his whole game's like. Obviously, it's good that he's going in there and finishing these fights, but to see if he's...
Or what his tired game is like. That's what interests me in about fighters. People overlook this as well. So they prepare their body so much so that they don't ever have to get tired, in a sense. But then there is a real skill to fighting when you're tired, and that really interests me. I look for this in all fighters, in the champions, the up-and-coming people. That would be interesting to see because you know how well he performs when tired.
That takes some. What McGregor said when the Mayweather fight, he gets a second win. So it's even when he is tired. Obviously, he got tired during the first Diaz fight, but he put on 25 pounds for that. So when it got to the second one, he knew how to handle getting tired, and he could still carry on whilst he was tired. Like you said, people can carry on whilst they're tired, and some others can't. Like,
Diaz.
The physical side of him, you want to watch him go the whole distance to see if he is like the complete fighter that everyone's making out that he is.
Yeah, I'm interested in much more than just the physicality of the sport. If you see what I'm saying.
Yeah. So obviously, you want to see if he's got the fitness to go the five right, the three rounds.
Yeah, it's a frame of mind too, that combined with the good energy that will make you perform well in the deep waters.
Yes. If you if you get to the third round and you're in the last minute and the guy's been on top of you for 13, 14 minutes and you've got that last minute and you need something, you've got to dig real deep to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, it depends on what type of a three round fight you had. You could have a tit for tap or a real competitive push.
Yeah, so right,
yeah.
I'm gonna let you go.
Yeah,
enjoy
yeah.
the rest of your evening. I know you're a busy guy. Again, thank you for the chat. Really appreciate it. I look forward to watching Bellator.
Awesome.
And I wish you all the best. If you've got any sponsors, social media or anything like that, any shout outs you want to give, then feel free to fire away now.
Yeah, 100%. Big shout out to Alex Venin, AV Therapy, always looking after me. I'll be working with him next week. Really appreciate what he does. Big shout out to Frost Hire. They've been looking after me for a while. And real good support from them guys. They're based in Luton and Milton Keynes. So get in touch with them if you're looking for any van rental. Really great company. And also big shout out to CBD Life UK. So they're always keeping me stocked up with great CBD products. Wax, hemp balm, which is great for the trauma I took on my last fight. And yeah, just a big shout out to my team BST. Yeah, that's all.
Good stuff. Right, I've said that I'm going to give a shout out to one of my friends. He's just started his business doing conservatory maintenance and stuff like that. And he does garden cleanups and stuff like that. So if you want to go and check him out, he's on Facebook at Pete's Conservatory Maintenance. I'll put his name on this when I share it on Facebook. And yeah, the podcast is also available on iTunes, on the podcast on iTunes. So you go and check that out. Make sure to leave me a nice little review. And it's also on Anchor as well. And I found out today, if you type in the podcast name, it's on Google as well. About different platforms. Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know. And because one of my friends was like, oh, how can I listen to it? Because I haven't got an iPhone. And I was like, oh, if you click on this and go on Google and do this. And then I actually went and searched it myself and it came up with about five different ways that it's on there. So I was like, oh, sounds really good. But yeah, the goal is to get into the top 200 podcasts on iTunes.
Yeah, get in touch, for any future fights I've got coming up or if you want to talk about how my fight went with Akandeo. Yeah, it's been good talking to you, Scott.
Will do.
Thank you.
And you. So, I'll be sure to keep up to date with your Facebook and stuff like that. And I'll be watching Bellator and we'll have a chat afterwards.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Cheers.
Bye.